Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This morning, I want to use Veterans Day as a catalyst for my message. Pastor is away. He's on his way back from Denver, so be praying for him and Miss Rebecca as they return. So he has given me the opportunity to preach this morning. And so we're going to use Veterans Day as a catalyst. But before I do that, I want to tell you a story. When I was growing up as a kid, do we have any hard sleepers here this morning? Any people who you just do not get up well? You do not get up well. Angela will tell you I am one of those people, and it just so happens that my brother is even more of one of those people than I am. So, like every morning when we would have to get ready for school, my mom would walk into our door, and she would pull off the covers, and she would start pulling the toes of her little boys. Not only was it bad enough that it was cold, but then add to it pulling our toes and pulling like that knuckle sound, like, oh, it was not good. It was not good. I think they have a term for that nowadays, child abuse. Mom, if you're listening, don't do that anymore. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, she did do that, and we would wake up. Except for this one morning. My brother, I don't know, my mom must have forgot to pull our toes, which I was thankful for. But my brother, she went to wake my brother up, and she said to my brother, "Jason, you need to get up." And he said, "Mom?" And she said, "What?" "Jason, wake up." And he said, a little bit clearer this time, he said, "Mom, or the book." She said, "Jason, wake up." And he opened his eyes as wide as could be, still asleep, and he looks up at her and he says, "Mom, guard the puck." He was just dreaming of hockey. But my brother was such a hard sleeper that he could open his eyes and still be asleep. I don't get it. But this morning, that it just brought to my memory that story and kind of the situation this week brought to my memory Psalm 4, verses 23. And it says this: "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." This morning, I'm not asking you to guard a puck, but I am asking you to guard your heart. Over the last couple weeks, Pastor's been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and tucked right in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 is chapter 13. And the focus is not on spiritual gifts at that point. The focus is on love. And as you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, let me take you on a little bit of a journey this morning of how I got to this message. If you listen to the news any since Hurricane Sandy, you know that Washington and many of the other areas on the East Coast, they found as much shelter as they could, as quickly as they could, except for one area in Washington, D.C. Had anybody heard what happened? What happened was the guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, in spite of the hurricane, they stood out there and they guarded the tomb. Wow. Pretty powerful stuff. Makes you proud of our country, doesn't it? They're called the third Regiment of the Army, or they're also called the Old Guard. These soldiers continue to stand watch over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in spite of all conditions since 1948. Whether it be hurricanes, torrential downpours, snowstorms, extreme heat conditions, they have never left that post. It got me thinking whether or not we you and I as Christians are as diligent about guarding our heart. With some of the responses that I've heard over this past week with the election and tomorrow being Veterans Day, I thought it was so appropriate that God just put this in my lap. And so let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. It says this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It records. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As we dissect this portion of Scripture this morning, I want to use an acrostic for the word guard as our guide this morning. So we'll start with the G. The G in guard reminds us that we must give our lives to Christ. Ultimately, this starts when we ask Jesus to become the Lord of our lives. But it's not just one moment in time. He calls us to give our lives completely over to Him, each moment of every day. Unfortunately, sometimes each one of us gets distracted. And we think that our love for Christ is based on what we do more than who we are. But verse 1 through 3 of 1 Corinthians shows us that love isn't based on outward signs, like speaking in tongues or prophecy or how smart we are or how much faith we have or how much money we give or whether we even become a martyr. It's deeper than that. It's the difference between Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you remember, it's here that we see Martha scurrying around. She's distracted by her to-do list and by what Mary is doing. Now, if I understand right, Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing what was customary at the time. But she let her to-do list and what Martha was doing get in the way of what she needed to do, which was knowing Jesus. That's what Mary did. Spending quality time with Jesus. Isn't that true with us? We can get so focused on things, not necessarily bad things, actually, maybe even what we're supposed to be doing like Martha. But we get so focused on outward manifestations and we lose sight of having a personal quality time with Jesus. Oftentimes, the result is something like this. Excuse me, Harvey. Don't you know that you're not supposed to be reading your bulletin in the middle of service? Or we say, oh, no. I wouldn't do that. That's a sin. You can't do that. Or we say something like, I can't believe you would ever walk into a place like that. Jesus wouldn't have been caught dead there. and you're there? Or maybe, maybe, just maybe, like Martha, we start tattletaling to God. You ever start tattletaling to God? Have you ever thought about that? We say things like this: God, now you told us our house needs to be in order. And Bob over there, he just keeps messing with his new Camaro. Lord, you better get him. You better get him, Lord. Or we say, God, do you see the peril our country is in? You better do something, or the end is going to be here closer than you ever thought. He's God, isn't he? Or we say something like, oh God, do you see what our pastor is doing? You better do something, or else this is going to get out of control. I think we get so focused on other people and what they're doing that we forget that God is all-knowing. He is all ever-present. He is all-powerful. And he is more jealous for his church than we could ever be. Now, I'm not saying that telling God what's going on is wrong, because it's absolutely not. But what's your motive behind it? When your motive is to tattle, I don't think it's right. But when your motive is to say, God, we need you. God, we cannot do this without you. That's a completely different motive. And when we do it in a way that says, Lord, I give my life to you. I give my life to you. You see, that's the difference between Mary and Martha. Martha said, this stuff. And Mary said, Lord, I give my life to you in spite of the stuff. The next letter we have is the U. And the U reminds us to be undaunted in spite of circumstances. Take a look at verses 4 through 7. Jesus is calling us to be undaunted in love. See, this verse of Scripture is not just something that Jesus, that God puts in here for a nice wedding ceremony. Although we do quote it during a wedding. But take a look at how we should be guarding our heart for love. It says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud, and it does not dishonor. Let me just take a moment here. Doesn't dishonor like our parents. Doesn't dishonor our boss. It doesn't dishonor our civil leaders. It doesn't dishonor our elected officials. And folks, whether you like it or not, love does not dishonor our president. It doesn't. You see, society has tricked us into thinking if we state our opinion and it doesn't go our way, and what we want and what we wanted isn't what happens, that we have the right to complain about it. We don't. That seems like dishonoring to me, doesn't it, to you? That's hard. Verse 5 goes on to say that the kind of love we're to guard our heart for is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It does not keep record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Oftentimes, we allow these things, like outside influences, like maybe it's a frustration with a family member, or maybe it's a health issue, or maybe it's what's happening in our job, or what's happening in the world around us. For some, it's a moral failure. Maybe you know your parent, or maybe even a pastor has had an issue. But God wants to remind us this morning that the love we are to guard our heart for is a love that's not based on others. It's not based on outside circumstances. You see, if we go back to the tomb of the unknown soldier, I'm sure that the sentinels, that's what they call the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier, don't look forward to guarding the tomb based on outside weather. Whether it's a hurricane, whether it's days of 100% humidity and 100% heat, blizzards, nor'easters like they just had, but they do it regardless of what's going on around them. And listen to this. They've continued to do it every hour of every day of every year since 1948 because they're undaunted in what's going on around them. It's not based on what's going on around them. Can we say that? Can people say that about us? The next letter is A, and A prompts us to accept God's purpose. As I was learning about the tomb of the unknown soldier and the guards who worked there, I found the average length of time for a soldier to stay in that post is only a year and a half. But it's not because of outside influences like hurricanes or heat. It's because of the daily mindset they have to have. Just like these guards, we have an inward struggle. Satan has a way of attacking our mind. The Bible says that we each have an inward battle between what our sinful desire wants and what the Holy Spirit wants within us to keep us stayed on Christ. The question is whether we give into temptation or whether we accept God's purpose for our lives and love unconditionally. A few weeks ago, I was working on a message for United, our youth group, and the Lord really convicted me and really challenged me. What does it mean to love? And I want you just to take a second this morning and close your eyes and just imagine the situation, okay? You're at the Last Supper and you're Jesus. And you know that Judas is coming. He's not yet entered the door, but you also know that you're going to wash the disciples' feet. And now you have a choice. You can open your eyes. For me, I imagined it if I were Jesus, which I'm not. Thank you, Lord. If I were Jesus, I imagined it'd go something like this. Judas walks in the door, and as kindly as I can, because I am Jesus, I say something to the effect of, "Hey, Judas, I know what you're going to do, because it's just the way I am. Why don't you just go do what you have to do? And sell me out, because I know you are going to. Why don't you just go do that and don't worry about staying here." But Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Jesus says this. "Hey, Judas, why don't you come in? Why don't you have a seat? Why don't you spend the whole evening with us? Why don't you take off your shoes and whatever you have on your feet? Because I'm going to wash them." If that's not loving unconditionally, I can't imagine what is. But God goes beyond that. And he says, while you and I were enemies of him, he took the weight of the cross, the worst penalty, the worst death that he could face. And he died for you and me. But I think sometimes we forget this little part that God puts in there for you and for me. Jesus, in his humanity, says this, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But not my will, yours be done." See, we often forget that Jesus said, "God, if you could do this any other way, I would so appreciate it. I would so love it if I didn't have to go to that cross. But Lord, if it's your will, that's what I'll do. Accepting your purpose and loving unconditionally is a difficult thing. You see, in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, we see right now in part, and we know only in part, but God sees the bigger picture, and he's calling us to lay down our will and to choose to accept his purpose for our lives. Before we get to the next point, which is the letter R, I want us to take a moment and look at what it means to be part of the team.
And now, we'll go to our man, Fernando Suarez, for a look on this Veterans Day at one of the hardest guard posts in the nation.
It is an elite group of soldiers who've spent months training for what some might think is a simple guard post. But in the 51-year history of guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, less than 570 have earned tomb badges, and only a few hundred actually earned the right to stand watch. Despite the obvious battle with the elements, it's what takes place behind the scenes that makes this such an exclusive brotherhood. The U.S. Army has given us rare access into the daily lives of a tomb sentinel. This underground facility is located just feet away from the very tombs they help protect, an area that is not open to the public and seldom allows media access.
This is where the guards are at when they're not outside.
Exactly. Sergeant Benton Timms is one of nine ranking officers in charge of changing out the guards. He has agreed to show us around on his day off, while we quickly realize that his schedule is not like most people's.
Usually for that 24-hour shift, we're going to be up for that entire 24-hour shift.
They work around the clock, starting their day at 5 a.m. and ending their shift at 6 or 7 the next morning. They get one day off in between shift, which sounds manageable, but it's the prep work before the next shift that consumes most of their free time.
This is my changing blouse.
Each guard tediously cares for his own uniform, everything from pressing the pleats on their jackets to measuring their metal placements to 1/64th of an inch.
When I come into work that next work day, I come in here and the first thing I do is I take this blouse out, I hang it up on my locker, and I check everything again. Because maybe overnight, the material might have sagged a little bit and something might be off just slightly. And so we'll go back and we'll recheck again and again.
Tim says the entire process to prepare their uniform from pressing and steaming to measuring the metals can take as long as 12 hours for a rookie and about 4 to 8 hours for more experienced soldiers. The bulk of that time, however, is taken up by shining their shoes.
So every day we go back with a boot brush them off, and sand them down with 2,000 grit sandpaper, make sure all the texture's out, and then we'll reshine them up, and it takes several hours.
They use a similar procedure for their gun holsters and bayonet scabbards, taking this crude green-issued case and turning it into a polished piece that hangs at their side. All of the metal and badges are polished by hand.
You can sit in here for hours and hours and hours on end and still not be to where it needs to be.
Only about 1 in 10 trainees completes the program, making earning the Tomb Guard badge the most difficult badge to obtain in the military. Once enrolled, most serve an average of 1.5 years before the demanding post and the grueling schedule become too much.
Working 24-hour shifts is not for everybody. Measuring everything on your uniform to 1/64th of an inch is not for everybody. You know, shining shoes with shoe polish, again, that's not for everybody.
It's all done to meet what Tim's calls a standard of perfection.
You know, to honor them, we give them our absolute best. And the best thing we can give them is perfection.
Perfection, which means no guard leaves this room without being fully inspected by another soldier. An extreme regimen that on some days can mean changing in and out of their ceremonial blue uniforms up to 23 times in one shift.
When you're spending 6, 7, 8 hours shining those shoes or pressing your blouse back there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you just have to stop, assess why you're doing it, you know, what they gave up. And well, hey, spending 6 hours on my shoes is the least I can do for these guys who gave up their identities.
When night falls, the vigil continues, but the ceremonial blue uniforms are hung up. Instead, guards don standard Army combat uniforms to protect the tomb when the cemetery closes. In the morning, they will reset the clock and do it all over again. Fernando Suarez, CBS News, Arlington National Cemetery.
Pretty amazing, huh? Pretty intense, huh? Wow. Let's, before we go on to our to the letter R, let's go back and revisit our first three letters. The G stands for giving our lives to Christ. The U stands for being undaunted in circumstances. And then the A says, accept God's purpose to love unconditionally. The next letter is R, and the R calls us to recommit to guarding our heart. Having bread around a house is a tremendous blessing. He's smart, he's creative, he's talented, and he's a little boy. But he's just that. He's a little boy. And so Angela and I have to help him to remember the dirty dishes do not go on the counter. They go inside the dishwasher. Or we have to help him understand, Alicia will appreciate this, we have to help him understand that his pretest for spelling is on Tuesday, but he has to practice on Saturday so that he can get to Tuesday and know the words that he has to write. But as he continues to mature, we continue to give him more and more responsibility, expecting him to take care of these things on his own. You see, verse 11 and 12 are calling us to do the same in our maturity with Christ. You see, just like the process the tomb sentinels go through to align their uniforms, we need to align our motives and our heart to God's will. We do that through the ruler of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is calling us to put away childish spirituality, where we wait for others to feed us and give us God's truth. Instead, we need to daily recommit to guarding our own heart by learning and applying God's word to our own lives. We do that by consistent devotion and meditation on God's word. This allows us to regularly measure our thoughts, our motives, and our actions against who God is and against what he expects. It's a personal discipleship rather than just coming and expecting others to feed us, whether it be in a Sunday morning like this or in a small group discipleship. See, Thomas Jefferson said it this way, that government is best which governs the least, because its people discipline themselves. That government is best which governs the least, because its people discipline themselves. That's what it means to be mature in Christ. Not waiting for others to feed us, but saying, Lord, I'm digging in. And I may not understand. I don't know where to start. But Lord, I'm going to start because I need you. The D, it prods us to defend the truth at all costs. Oftentimes we think of defense as being retroactive or reactive. But probably Trevor could tell you that any defense that's a good defense is a proactive defense, not a reactive defense. You see, the Sentinels have spent the last 64 years proactively training those that the Army entrusts to them. I'm sure they teach each soldier the history behind the tomb, the routine, the protocol related to their post. They teach them what it means to keep silent and how to walk their 21 steps. And they teach them how to what happens when somebody is being disrespectful at the tomb and how to approach that and what to do. We were able to see how detailed they have to be on their dress code, including the proper way to iron their clothes, pin placement, each hand movement that they have to go through, how to internally, and I, I mean, I'm a musician, but I still don't understand how they get every sentinel to be thinking and clicking in that same tempo. That tempo's got to be internally in their heart, they just know it's just who they are. Likewise, we have a responsibility to be proactive and to train those who God has entrusted to us. We need to train them on how to defend the truth at all costs. This includes our neighbors. It includes our coworkers. It includes our peers, our children, and our grandchildren. You see, verse 8 through 12 of 1 Corinthians says this. Love is not based on me. It says love is just the opposite. It's based on others. Love is selfless, putting the good of others above you. Let me clarify this. Not putting what others like and what they want above ourselves, but putting what's in their best interest above ourselves. Remember, this is what the Lord says. He says he disciplines those he loves. I want to make a clarification on the word love, because Satan has distorted it so horribly, yet he's done an incredible job at it. It's to the point where we have slogans in our society that say, your way, right away. Whatever way you want it to be. To the world, love is based on fulfilling what I want. The way I want it and when I want it that way. That's the reason we need to be proactively defending what love is and defending truth at all costs. You see, a few years ago, Angela and I were in a situation where we had a spiritual leader and he was given responsibility and he abused that responsibility. Not too long after that, Angela and I moved and I had to get a new job. Well, when I got to new job, some of my coworkers found out about my previous situation, and so they began to ask some detailed questions about the situation. As I sat with them, they couldn't understand how I could choose to make the godly decision that God helped me make. I didn't make it on my own. But it was an open door for me to defend truth and what it means to love unconditionally. See, a pastor friend of mine still works with some of these guys. And he's been able to start a Bible study right there at that job. And at least two of these guys have made a decision to accept Jesus as the Lord of their lives. I tell you that story not to brag about myself or to puff myself up. That was one time. I still have to guard my heart all the time. And there are more times that I fail than there do that I succeed. But I tell you that story to help you understand that when the world sees what it means to defend truth at all cost, their lives will be changed. Now, I can't promise you that those you come in contact with will all accept Jesus. But I can promise you their lives will be changed. Because when they come in contact with somebody who loves unconditionally, they don't understand. They say, how can you do that? It doesn't make any sense in my human mind. It's because it's not based on human minds. It's based on God's love. See, this morning we have to come to a decision. We're going to sing one last song this morning, and I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you stand? I'm going to ask everyone here just to create an atmosphere of respect and reverence for those whose God's calling this morning. I believe God wants to pour out his Spirit. and teach us to love like he loves. I'm going to ask some of our board members if they would come and pray this morning. And this morning we've come to the point of the decision. And here's the decision that we have to make. Am I going to give my life completely over to God? Whether that's by asking him to come in and live in my heart for the very first time, or on a daily basis to allow him to have rule and lordship of who I am. Not being swayed by circumstances outwardly or inwardly that would try to tear us down and distract us from what God is calling us to do, but to accept his purpose to love unconditionally. This morning, will you recommit to guard your heart and leave a legacy of defending truth at all costs? That's what God's calling us this morning. He's saying, are you willing to love beyond all limits? To come after me with all that you are?
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.